Today, this is the second time we get together to serve God, to worship God. We will just taste what were happened, what we experienced in heaven. Let me read Bible, the Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. An angel had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Let me also read in Chinese. 我又看见另有一位天使飞在空中，有永远的福音要传给住在地上的人，就是各国、各族、各方、各民。 It is wonderful. We experience what the heaven will be look like. So we get together. It's very meaningful event. Since last combined service, more than 1 year passed away. I see your church has a big change. New carpet. New pews, new tower of the cross outside the building. It costs a lot of money. But thank God, He provides everything you need. Congratulations, you are growing. To us, Tri-City Chinese Aligned Church, we are growing too. The membership reached the historical record. Last year, the number is more than 100. Our building mortgage has been paid off. Now we are looking for expanding. But every Christian knows that the real growth is not physical things, but spiritual lives. The spiritual realm is invisible, so it is easy to ignore. I have no right to judge your church. Even for my church, I can say it's very little. So I will use this time to share a little bit about myself. For more than 2 years, my wife still being in a vegetarian state, live in Richland Rehab Center, very close to your church. It's difficult to me and also to my church. Last year, I asked for resignation to be a pastor of Tri-State Chinese Alliance Church. Our governing board and the authority of Northwest Pacific District accept my resignation with sadness. After I step down, what should I do and where to go? Do you remember last time I tell you what is my last name? G-O-O, pronunciation is like go. Pastor go. I'm ready to go. Go everywhere to preach the gospel. Now, I'm not only ready to go, I am in the process of to go. Maybe you will not see me in the next combined service. Before, I think it is easy just to go. I should always ready. Now my mind has been changed. I found it is not so easy. Actually, I am not ready. To share the gospel, to share the good news, depends on your understanding and your experience how good it is. People around us, around the world, are suffering. In Japan, 9.0 earthquake and tsunami destroyed so many lives, and the death number is continue rising. In China, people are afraid of nuclear pollution. They buy all kind of salt to protect the nuclear radiation. Even one city, in one single day, 1,000 tons of salt has been sold out. They are very ridiculous, you can say. But who can stop them? Who can provide the real peace? In Tri-City, we heard some big companies, they are going to lay off significant people, significant number of employees in the near future. I hope no one will involve in your church. As Christian, please tell me, do you have real peace in this troubled world without true peace? As for myself, for me, how can I share the good news to suffering people at the same time I struggle with carrying a vegetarian wife? The challenge is real and very big. If you don't have a good relationship with God, your spiritual life cannot support your message. Finally, you will see you are not ready to go. Dear brothers and sisters, let us combine together, not just make our programs very exciting and eat international food, but also let our living testimonies shine as a bright light in this dark world. Now it is even darker than 1 year ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Guo. And thank you, Chinese Alliance Church, for being here. What a blessing to hear the singing and the testimonies. I'm trying to decide right now whether to give you my testimony or to preach the message I have prepared. Okay, thank you. I needed that. You come back next Sunday and I'll give you the message I have prepared. I'm not talking to the Chinese folks. You'll go to your church next Sunday. But, I grew up in the panhandle of Texas on a farm. I had two older sisters and a brother and a sister younger than me. My brother is 10 years younger than I am. And we lived so far out in the country that we didn't get to visit a lot in town. Oh, yeah, we went occasionally, but I knew what it was like to play out by myself and play with my sisters. And we went to church on Sunday. It was about 7 miles into town to go to church. And I remember sitting there listening to the preacher on many occasions, but also many times not listening at all. I'd sit on the back row and my friends and I would play. In fact, growing up, I thought I really never heard the gospel until I was saved at the age of 17. But probably I did, I just never listened. And remember going to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teachers loved me, and that meant a lot. And then when I was in junior high, I got to change schools and go to a school that was about 9 miles away in order to play football. And sports was really kind of what I loved most in life. I longed to play, and we didn't have football in the little town where I lived. So I went, and we started playing football, and things were going well, and one day after football season, started playing basketball, and my back started hurting, and so bad I could hardly sit up, and went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got a serious back problem, and you need to have a spinal fusion. Well, that was not at all what I wanted to hear, because football was my God, little G, and I wanted to play football. My question to him was, if I have this, will I still be able to play football? And the first doctor said no, but the second doctor said yes. And so at age 15, I had a spinal fusion, wore a brace for several months. And the next year, I started playing football again. Was in two-a-day practices and clipped a guy. His leg wrapped around my collarbone and broke it. And I went to the doctor, and it was just cracked. And he says, 6 weeks and you probably can play again, because that was my question. Will I be able to play again? So 6 weeks later, I went back and I played football. And we were actually in a game, and I clipped another guy and broke my collarbone a second time. And on the way to the doctor, my mother said to me, "You know, Stanley, if something else happens to you, I think maybe God's trying to tell you something." And you know what? He was. He was trying to tell me something. Now, in the middle of all, in fact, what he was doing was taking away my God so that the real God would be real in my life. And while all this was going on, I met some friends who loved the Lord. We'd go to Bible studies on Wednesday night in their home, and it was led by youth. There was an adult in the house, but not in the Bible study. And I remember feeling so uncomfortable in there, because we'd go in and people would start singing on their own. They'd sing their song, and I wasn't used to that. But that's one of the things God used to capture my heart, learning to sing songs of praise to the Lord. One of the people in there was the pastor's daughter, who at school lived for the Lord, loved Him, was not fake, very real, very genuine, and that had a lot of influence on my life. A preacher came to town. We had a big citywide gathering of all the churches and big joint choir, and the preacher preached the first. I'd never heard anybody preach like that in all my life. He just was full of life and fire, and I can't tell you what he said, but I can guarantee you, because I don't remember, but I can guarantee you, boy, I was captured. And then he got to the end of the service, and he asked a question that I'd never been asked before. Gone to church all my life, 17 years old, but I'd never been asked this question before. He said, "If you died tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven?" He said, "If you know you'd go to heaven," and everybody's head was bowed, he said, "Would you raise your hand?" And I couldn't. He said, "If you died tonight, know you'd go to hell, would you raise your hand?" And I wouldn't. But he kept talking, and eventually I admitted to myself, you know, if I did die tonight, if the Lord were to come back tonight, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I raised my hand. I did not give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus that night. In fact, I went home, and I remember having a restless night. Went back to school the next day and had a restless day. The next night in the service out on the football field, the preacher asked the same question when he got through preaching. And I raised my hand again, and he says, "Why don't you receive Christ as your Savior?" My friend sitting right here, who, by the way, right now is a pastor also in the state of New Mexico, turned and said to me, "I'll go if you'll go." My entire football team was sitting around us up in the bleachers of the football stadium there. And we got up and we went forward, and I publicly confessed Christ as my Savior. Now, for about a year, I went back and forth struggling with, I knew that I'd given my heart and life to Him, but I had been so used to going to church and not being real and genuine that I struggled with, hey, if I really do have Jesus as my Savior, I really do need to live for Him. And after a period of a year, right, not long before college was to start, I went to this pastor's daughter and I said, "I believe God's calling me to preach." Now, you don't know how big a step that was for me. And I know we all have our own personal experiences, and some people would say the best person I've ever known all my life is a pastor. But in my growing up, the pastor in our church was a big Sunday. We had 60 people, and I don't remember ever really wanting to be a pastor. I remember we'd go down to the cafe, the farming community there, and one of the two pastors in the two churches in town would come in, hear all these men sitting around drinking coffee and talking, and here would come one of the preachers, and they would pull their halos out. Not really, but they would all of a sudden get religious and sanctified. And I remember as a little kid thinking, those preachers have got the plague or something. I don't want to be one of them. And so when I said to this pastor's daughter, "I think God's calling me to preach," that was a massive, massive step for me. And I'm so glad I made it. I went my first semester to a Bible college, and I went to change schools after that, and went to a Baptist college in the panhandle of Texas, and met my wife there. We went on preaching weekends, and some would give their testimony, and some would sing, and some would preach. And We were married. And after we graduated from college, we went to Hong Kong for 2 years. And I taught in Hong Kong Baptist College, and she taught there also. And I got to preach a lot, and I preached in Macau and for the summer. And it was a growing experience. Came back and was chosen to be a pastor after I went through seminary. But while I was in seminary, and I'll try to close with this story. While I was in seminary, Gene and I, having come back from Hong Kong, working, we bought a car, a new car, which was foolish, but we didn't know it at the time. And I was working on the seminary grounds, and she was working at a bank. And we're trying to pay our bills, and everything was figured out. It was going to work just the way we had planned. Until she started feeling poorly. And then she went to the doctor, and she came in after she'd been to the doctor, and I was watching the news on TV. I'm kind of a news nut, and I was watching the news, and she walked in and turned the news off. It must have been something important. It was. So I sat up, and she said, "We're going to have a baby." Praise the Lord, that was Sarah. And what a blessing she's been in our lives. But it wasn't going to pay our bills, because our conviction was always that the wife needed to stay home with the kids while they were small, and so that income was going to be taken away, and there was no way we were going to be able to meet our obligations. So a few weeks and months passed, and went to church one night. It had snowed, and there was ice on the road that day. It was very small attendance, and went to disciple training that night before the worship service, and it was just Gene and I sitting in there. We started talking about, this is what it's going to cost us over the next 6 months. This is what we need to earn. It was not going to happen. It was not. Gene started crying. We go into the worship service. It happens to be seminary day. The seminary day is where a seminary student will preach. And one preached that morning and one preached that night. So we sat down. She's crying. I've told her since, don't ever cry in worship service. Somebody thinks I beat you. Don't do that. He opens up his Bible, and here's his comment. "I apologize, but I'm going to preach from the same verses that the preacher preached from that morning." You know what they were? Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." It was like bells went off. It was like the Holy Spirit said, "This is for you." We turned to each other because he was preaching. We didn't say anything. But God said, "I called you here and I'll take care of you." I kept working. Sarah was born. Gene stopped working. I preached 7 times in a church that I would eventually become the pastor of, that church in the panhandle of Texas. After preaching there those 7 times, they heard that Sarah was going to be born. I went back to give a testimony at a particular time. And after Sarah was born, no way to pay that bill, we went back to the house. A couple of days later, an envelope came in the mail from that church, First Baptist Church, Wellington, Texas, with a check. We didn't know it was coming. And a note. "The church has voted to take up a love offering every month, and whatever we receive, we will send to you." Long story short, 6 months later, impossible to take care of all of our obligations, 6 months later, every bill was paid, including the hospital, including the car, with a little bit left over. And all I was doing, I was the only one working. All that to say this: God's promises are very real. And the Bible is full of promises. Somebody said there's 7,000 promises. His promise is, if you trust Jesus as Savior, He will forgive your sin and take you to heaven, as you've heard the testimonies here today. His promise is that when you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, He'll watch over you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And He'll meet your needs if you'll love Him and serve Him. And if you're not in that kind of relationship with Him this morning, I hope you will be. You've heard from many folks. We've heard from the singing, the songs, the people that wrote those songs. Why did they do that? Because they love the Lord Jesus. Do you love Him? If you don't, you can. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to live in your heart and your life. And if you bow your head and your heart, He will wash your sins away. He will take up residence in your life. And someday when we draw our last breath, or when the Lord Jesus comes back, we will live with Him forever as one family, the family of God. Let's bow together. Maybe this morning, the questions. If you died today, if you died tonight, would you spend eternity in heaven or hell? Through that question, God has asked you to answer it. Would you go to heaven? Do you know that you know that you know? You say, can you really know? Yes. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that? If you don't, but you want to, what do you need to do? John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. So right there where you sit, would you receive Him? You say, how do I do that? Romans 10, 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you call? God, I call out to You. Would you just do that from your heart to His? I call out to You, dear God, asking You to forgive me. I believe that You love me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins. I believe that He's alive today. And I invite Him into my heart and my life and confess Him as my Lord and Savior, thanking You for saving me. God, give me the courage to live for You and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, right there where you sat, you belong to Him. And I would encourage you to find someone, whether in our church or your church, that you find someone to share that decision with. Yes, I made that decision in my heart. You want to make it publicly as well. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing together. I'm going to be down here at the front. Pastor Guo will be here also. If someone wants to come and just pray with us, please feel free to do that. We'll sing for a few moments. Just step out into the aisle if that's the decision you're going to make. Let's stand together.